Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. It's going to be a minute before I get there. We got a cool announcement to make today. Got all kind of neat announcements happening these days, right? Sully, you in here? Sully and Xavier, where are you at? Stand up. Where's Xavier? Where's Xavier? Hold on. Come on over. We got an announcement. Xavier and Luzilinda Ortiz got married this week. Come on, give it up for them. Give it up for them. Bless them real good. Hallelujah. Congratulations. Congratulations. Excited for you. Exciting. I hear for your honeymoon, he went to work. It's smart not to start your marriage off in debt. You can go on a honeymoon whenever. When you get the money, just call it the honeymoon. People are like, We're going to a $30,000 wedding and a $20,000. How are you paying for that? Credit cards? Starting it in debt. That's real wise. That's awesome. Yeah. Might want to rethink that one right there. Oh, I could go down that road for a minute, but I'm not going to. That worship was good, right? When you follow Jesus, you're going to find that you live a life of conflict. When you follow Jesus, you're going to find you live a life of conflict. And the Bible teaches us this, that the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. Now, if you're carnal, you're going to think that just has to do with your personal sanctification. But this goes for everything in your life. This goes for your ministry, and it goes for your call. The flesh wars against the spirit. Spirit wars against the flesh. You got to know what you're following. You have to be able to discern the voices that dictate the decisions of your life. If you're not living your life on purpose, you're living according to somebody else's plan. I intend to write. Let me say it this way. I believe it was Winston Churchill said, history will speak well of me because I intend to write it. I don't plan on living my life and then just hoping history treats me well. I plan on leaving a legacy. I plan on living intentionally in a way that I leave a legacy. I don't want to live after things that just make me happy. If you live after your happiness, then when you die, your legacy ends. You get that? If you live for yourself, when you die, your legacy ends. And I don't plan on wasting my little time here on earth. And so as a preacher, you can make all kind of plans. Has anybody given their life to Jesus and your life begin to change a little bit? The trajectory just starts going off in another direction. You're like, all right, let me just talk to you guys for a minute. I'll get into this, I guess. Hopefully, I'll get into it soon. If you need a handout, they're in the bulletins, I believe. Are they in the bulletins? Yeah? Some people say no. Some people say yes. If you need one, raise your hand, and they'll give you one. We may or may not fill it out, so go ahead and pray in tongues and fill it out as you feel the Spirit lead if I don't get to it, all right? I just want to talk to you a little bit today. Is that okay? Can I just talk a little bit? I just want to share a little wisdom. I just want to talk a little bit. Need one right over here, ushers. Need one right over here. Two more right here. One over there. Maybe you got to go to church a little longer, Lillian. Maybe that's the problem. We need one more handout over here, I think. One in the front row. Okay, I'm done being the usher. So you get saved, and all of a sudden, you know, you start questioning your life plans. And that could become just a real battle. You know what the real battle is? What I want to do and what God wants me to do. That's the battle. That's the sum total of the battle right there. Do I want to follow God or not? And I have found that the longer you walk with Jesus, in one sense, it gets easier and easier to obey him if you learn to obey him early. If you learn to obey him early, it gets easier and easier to follow him, because the more you obey God, the more good fruit you get from obeying God. And the more you get good fruit from obeying God, the easier it is, because you want more good fruit. The challenge is, early in your walk, you don't even know what good fruit is, because you think good fruit is whatever makes you happy. This is making me happy, therefore it must be from God. Now, follow with me here. Jesus, kind of the central player in the New Testament. Jesus got water baptized, right? The Bible says the Spirit landed upon him. Heavens opened up, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," right? The Bible then says the Spirit took Jesus off into the desert. If you really want me to teach, just pray in the Holy Ghost. I have something prepared, I promise you. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Ghost right now. So the Bible says that the Spirit led him off into the wilderness, into the dry place, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Remember what happened during that period off in the wilderness? The enemy came and tempted him. Say tempted. Jesus never sinned, right? So it's not sin to be tempted. The enemy wants you to think the fact that you thought about the sin, now you've fallen, so you might as well go ahead and do it. Jesus was not tricked by that. Right? So it's not sin to be tempted. It's sin to entertain the temptation. And it's worse sin to follow through on the temptation. Some people say all sin is the same. It's all the same. There's no difference whether you thought something bad or you murdered a bunch of people. That's just the dumbest thing in the world. It's not even biblical. I'll give you two examples. I don't have time to teach on that. This is my point, but I feel like I need to tell somebody this. In the Old Testament, there was a law, right? And when you violated the law, it was sin, yes? Now, with some sins, you had to be murdered. There was no forgiveness. You did this, and we have to kill you. Other sins, you did this, and you have to sacrifice a ram. Or a bull. I don't know how much a bull costs, but I imagine it's not cheap. It can't be all that cheap. Right? Or an ox. An ox is like owning a tractor. Can't be cheap. It's got to be more expensive than a goat, right? You with me? Other sins, you just got to sacrifice a dove. Now, see, those are the kinds I would be involved in. If you're going to pick a vice, pick one that doesn't make you go flat broke. Next time you're thinking, should I get involved in heroin? I say, no, just get hooked on like craft booking, all right? If you're going to get involved in a vice, just pick one that's far cheaper, you know? I like crafting with stuff I find for free. Perfect. Okay, so if sins have different penalties, then they all can't be the same. If they have different penalties, they can't all be the same. Well, you say that's under the law, okay? Second example. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? They were coming to betray him. If you remember, Judas sold him 30 pieces of silver. He said, "For this money, I will tell you who he is." And when they came to get Jesus, the guard got him, and he was like, "Man, I know this ain't right," but Jesus said, "Don't worry. The one who betrayed me committed the greater sin." And in my life, if Jesus says something, it's truth. So if Jesus said some sins are greater than others, so not all sins are the same. So if you're tempted with a sin, it does not mean that you have fallen. It means that the enemy is tempting you. You might want to find out how he was able to come in and tempt you. Maybe you have control over that, maybe you don't. If you entertain the sin, now we've begun to partake in the sin. One of the biggest problems with fornication and sex outside of marriage is, this might offend some people, but I don't really care at this point. It's the biblical role of men to cover women. Men cover women. It's our job as men to cover women. I believe men and women are equal, but we have different roles. Look at the leadership of our church. My theology matches my orthopraxy. What I do matches what I say about that. I have women leaders. I have men leaders. I have single leaders. I have married leaders. I have most leaders with legal status in America. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just... I'm walking what I talk here, okay? So this isn't just, I say I believe in equality, yet I make no women leaders, okay? I have women leaders. I believe in equality. I really do. I believe that men are called to cover women. When a man enters into sexual sin with a woman, he sees a woman uncovered and decides to partake in her uncovering for his own advantage. He violates his purpose. So the fact that you're tempted with sexual sin means that you're a man with working parts. When Corey and I talk about, when I talk to anybody about youth ministry, and they want advice about starting youth ministry, I say, you know, you need to talk to your leaders about what are you going to do about sexual temptation. Can I just be real for a moment? Because if you're not dealing with sexual temptation, then you're not dealing with sexual temptation. And you better have a plan for how you're going to counsel your people on not to react to young men and young women who don't have adults who have ever shown them love and don't know how to appropriately display love. Because you'll have some 17-year-old showing you love and you think it's you, when it's really the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Back to what I was talking about originally. So you come to Jesus, and all of a sudden you've been converted. Your spirit man has been awakened. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. All of a sudden you've just become a whole lot more attractive. I have found when people are delivered of the devil, they're more attractive than when they're demonized. Sin makes you ugly, right? Sin makes you ugly and sin makes you stupid. When you get saved, you get wiser and less ugly. Sometimes we'll look at the old pictures of some of you. We'll just be like, man, remember that? Oh, yeah. Looking rough. And they thought they were fly. That's the funny part. They come in with a swagger, and you're like, yeah, can't wait till you get delivered. So all of a sudden, you get saved, and the tempter comes. And you start thinking all the flattering words are you. What did the enemy tempt Jesus with? Anybody remember? They tempted it. The devil tempted him with everything he was called to do. All you got to do is just take a shortcut, and I'll give you everything that you've been promised. Just take your trust out of God, and I'll just give you everything. How many of you know he would have wound up with nothing? Anybody hearing me here? Wow, I came to Jesus, and now I'm getting everything I ever wanted. Red flag. Because everything you ever wanted has to go through the filter of what has Jesus said. That's why Paul gave that amazing advice. When you come to Christ, whatever situation you're in, stay there until you hear God. Stay there until you hear God. Because there will be voices coming telling you, run and do this, go and do that, whatever. And Paul's like, just whoa. Because you're now fertile soil, and whatever gets planted in there is going to grow fast. You let some weeds in your garden early on, and all of a sudden it will choke out the call. We see it in this church all the time. People come in, they get touched by the anointing, presence of Jesus is here. They never experienced it before. Parts of their life start flourishing, and then all of a sudden, there's a hidden desire, a hidden temptation that they didn't bring out into the light, and the enemy knows exactly what it is. You know how he knows what it is? Because he's been using it all your life. And it's always worked, so he's going to keep on using it. So he brings along that thing that you were putting your hope in. Oh, if only I had a mate, if only I had more money, if only I had this fame, if only I had more hours at work. Oh, is that all it's going to take? More hours at work? Not a problem. Get you some more hours on Sunday. Bam. Wow, God's answering my prayers. I got more hours of work. Now all I have to do is not go to church. Yeah, that's not God. That's just not God. You with me? And so we have this conflict in our heart. And at times, it can make you feel like you don't know where you're going or what you're doing. It can make you feel like, man, before I got saved, before I followed God, I had such a clear picture of what was happening. And now I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel I have no direction. I feel I have no base. Does this mean anything to anybody? Had it all figured out, and then Jesus came and messed everything up. And what's happening is now you can't live your life without faith in God. You see, we want salvation, but we don't have to live in faith. This doesn't work. Your only other option is to be religious and self-righteous. If you like religious and self-righteous, I can't teach you how to do that. I never learned how to do that, and I don't want to learn. If you want to live in faith in God, then, you know, I can help you out a little bit. It's a wild ride, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's very, very worth it. I plan to leave a legacy. I hope you do too. I want them to save me after I pass. That man trusted God. That man saw the supernatural. He bridged that gap between heaven and earth. That's what I want for my life. Hallelujah. How you feeling, Sarah? You doing good? You encountered Jesus? Anybody encounter Jesus this morning? Yeah, anybody encountered Jesus? I heard him. He talks, you know. So if you remember, I'm going to try to get on track here. Unless Jesus wants to interrupt me again, and I'm all right with that. Is there anybody on the front row I have not prophesied over in the last 3 weeks when I've been doing those? Really? I know I prophesied over the second row, but anybody who was in the front row who wasn't in the back row, I didn't do you too? You sure? I think you're lying, but that's all right. All right, if I didn't, stand up. It's okay, you guys got a minute? You got a minute? In the last several weeks, I've been prophesying over the second row. If you weren't in the second row, you didn't get one of those words. Isaac, you have not sat in the second row. Goodness gracious, this is going to take... You guys got a minute, right? I need you all to pray in the Holy Ghost quietly. And let's just get this activated quickly. Can we do that? I'm going to have Sarah Pagano prophesy over everybody in the room when I'm done. As an inside joke. Okay, y'all sit down. You two stay. Yeah, I see you two, and I saw you at the waters with Jesus when he got baptized. And I feel like, here's kind of what it looks like right here. Jesus got water baptized, and then he went off into the desert, and you're next. And the question is, what's going to happen after the baptism? And the Lord is speaking to you right now. You have you're at a doorway period in your life. And where you go through that doorway, I just believe it's entirely up to you. It's entirely up to you. And your decisions in this season are going to affect generations. Yeah, that's my word right there. That's good stuff right there. That's good. Choose wisely. Amen. They're married, so they get one word. You stay there. I'm going to let that cook. How you doing, Kevin? You doing good? Stand up. Did you say I thought I'd be a lot better? Oh, my bad. I think I should have prophesied over the second row. I'm getting more for the second row right now. But I've committed myself. I'm just waving to people by the children's ministry over there. Are y'all praying? Wow, this is so familiar. Like, here's the problem I have. I just want to speak into things I already know. My whole front row here. Are you getting it, Isaac? Getting it there, Kevin? I just feel like the Holy Ghost is moving. I think we're just going to pray for people today. Can we do that? In the name of Jesus. Father, we just declare right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Destiny, we just declare. And so I see him setting concrete in your foundation. You know, a lot of people, they've built their house on a dirt floor. And it's shifting sand. And I feel like God wants to really, in this season, look for long-term decisions that bring good fruit. That's the word for you right now. Yeah, I see the sickness is prophetic. And I see there's a virus at work. And the Lord says he's going to give you a holy cough to cast out the virus in Jesus' name. You guys good? Yeah? Sarah, stand right up there. Isaac, stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isaac, I hear the Lord saying you need to begin memorizing Scripture. And as you memorize the Bible, the Lord's going to speak through those Bible Scriptures. You need to begin learning Scriptures week by week. You need to add to your Scripture knowledge because the Lord's going to put power. Your faith, you're going to have faith in the Word, and your faith in the Word is going to bring you faith for miracles. You're going to have power through the memorization of Scripture. The Lord says, continue to memorize Scripture. Stand up. Anastasia, the Lord says, you're so cute. Yeah, this is just instructional. I'm getting all these instructional words. The Lord says you need to learn more songs. You need to learn how to play more songs, and you need to practice more. The Lord has asked you to practice. Practice more in the music. And begin to study how the chords are, the chord progressions, and how they work together, because you're going to begin writing very soon and young. Stand up, Corey. Corey, the Lord showed me you're coming around a corner. And you're coming around this corner. When you come around a corner, you see different things. Because the building was blocking stuff. You thought you saw everything, but you didn't know because there was a building next to you. And so you're going to start seeing things differently. But it's not because you were wrong before. It's because you're coming around a corner and the Lord's going to show you more. You can sit down. That's right. You stand up, Davises. You didn't get a word yet? Stand up, Davises. Are you getting words for anybody yet? Yeah? Stand right there in that step right there. That's where my angel is. See? How you doing, Davises? You're going to be moving soon. And the Lord says, there's been warfare over your moving because where you live is strategic. So you need to, do not move until you have a peace about the new place because it's strategic. The Lord is teaching you to hear him in natural things. Just as you've known about spiritual, how to flow with him in the spirit, that's great and all, but you're he already reigns in heaven. He needs us to reign in this realm. And so he's teaching you to how to get a peace about something. And he's using every major decision in your life as a new life lesson on how to get peace on these decisions. Amen? Amen. You got some things you want to share? Okay. Give it for Sarah, everybody.
Anya, can you please stand up? I saw a veil being torn for you. And I saw, as the veil was torn, I just saw the Lord, like, on the other side of the veil. And I saw it torn, and you were standing there in front of him. And then I saw him just ask you, you know, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need this? And just asking you things. And I feel like in this season, God's giving you more faith for stuff that you maybe didn't even think about, or faith for things that maybe you did think about and you asked God for. But, I just see the faith level rising and him asking you to ask him whatever it is you need, and he's going to give it to you. Just to ask. You have to ask. Does that make sense? Okay. Amen. No.
Miss Cynthia, stand up.
I see, I don't know if this sounds funny, but I see angels like that are standing around you, but I see Jesus like coming in and brand you, but it's so you can take that out, and I see you like walking around other women and walking around other people, but you just have that piercing word for them, that piercing thing that just marks people for Jesus, and they're never going to be the same. Whoa. Amen. Thank you. That's better.
You guys okay? Can we just be the church here for a minute? Can you get her a chair and just put it right over there by the thing? You can sit down, Cynthia. You're good. Your plans don't matter to God as much as you think. All right. That's my word. Love you. All right. You guys in James? I'm just going to talk real briefly, and we're just going to prophesy in the midst of that. Is all right? You ready?
Can I sit?
Well, you got another one?
No.
Oh, yeah. Sit right there. You're good.
Oh.
You're not done. All right. This is going to be a fast forward. You guys okay? You know, you can't plan this stuff. I used to think these kind of meetings were boring unless I got a word. Then it was God. Okay. So if you remember, we receive God's direction through revelation. Right? You remember that? Through revelation? Ha. Huh. Revelation? Right? Are you with me here? I'm getting whacked right now. And God's really not interested in what I've prepared. That's somewhat hurting my ego. Let's just pull out this. He's like, that's so cute. Stop it. I'm like, okay. I'm just going to do this until I figure out where we're going, all right? First line on our little fill-in dealy here. Pride tells us that we're fine on our own, but Scripture tells us to be attentive to wisdom. How you doing, Sarah?
Good.
Do you have a fill-out dealy?
It's over there.
Why is it over there? You know how much I work on these things?
You made me come over here.
Don't talk back. James 1:17. You want to sit next to her? You have words for people? No? James 1:17. God says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Oh, the only good stuff only comes from God. I'm getting rocked right now. Is anybody else getting rocked? Let's just release the presence, shall we? Right there. Let me just release a little more here. Release a little. Receive.
Whoa.
Let me give you a little wisdom here. People are like, I just want an orderly church service. You don't get revelation and gifts and prophecy and healings about this. You hear what I'm telling you? It takes both. It takes good teaching. It takes good preaching. It takes prayer. But it takes people saying, you know what, Father, you want to take over today and I'll look like a fool? That's fine. You don't mind looking like a fool for me. I'll look like a fool for you. That's okay. We haven't had a service like this in a long time. I got a teaching. I'm good to go. But I'm just going to release the presence here. Is that all right? Because we can start bragging that we know something, Lucas. We can start bragging like we know something. Oh, look, I got church figured out. Isn't that awesome? I was like, I'm not impressed. Have you seen my church service? I led one, Pentecost. Get at me. That's what he's saying. Get at me. What you got? It's like, oh, you baptized 20. That's so nice. My first service, there were 3,000 saved. Then I threw down the mic and went to heaven. Get at me, Brett. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." The biggest challenge we have in church today, Sarah, is false boasting and false confidence. There's a false confidence that we actually know what we can do. There's a false confidence that we can be in charge of our own lives and produce something that's lasting. The Bible says in the last days, everything you do is going to be consumed with fire and be tested. It's going to be tested. I want the fire to fall on me now. You want your foundation tested early. You know, in construction, before you can even lay down the concrete for the foundation, they make sure your dirt is right. You lay it all out, you put out your rebar, you put the little stuff on the ground, you have the little mesh things, and then they come out and they test the density of the soil. It has to be perfect. Because even if the soil's not right, the foundation you lay is going to crack. These days, people are like, don't test what I'm doing. I'm scared I might be wrong. Well, everybody's going to know you're wrong when you build on a foundation and the whole house falls over. Because the day of testing is going to come, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You hear me? Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I'm not scared of that day. I'm like, test me now, Lord. Test what I'm building now. Test what I'm building now. He comes with the shaking. How you doing, Sarah? You getting more stuff over there? All right, you want to go ahead? Your wife's prophesying
up there.
Courtney,
can you stand up?
Ha! Second row.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like maybe your heart has been hurting lately, and you were not sure why. Like if you were sad or things were going on, and it was just affecting you. But I feel like God is calling you to a new level of intercession.
Oh, that's
and
good.
When that happens, you have
yeah,
to just
good.
Stop whatever you're doing and pray into that. Pray for the hurting. Pray for whatever you feel like what's happening in that moment, why you're sad or whatever. It's not you. That sadness, that feeling that you know is not you. You're a happy person. You're, you know, whoa. But I see the Lord is calling you to that, a special intimate intercession with him. And don't be afraid to just stop what you're doing. You know, especially, like, I know that you have school and it's busy, but don't be afraid to just stop it and to pray. Amen. Well, I have another one. Isley and Felix, would you stand up, please?
Ah.
Wow. I see the Lord calling you to a new level of authority. Specifically in your prayer life, I feel like there's things that you're not walking in because you may be afraid to pray for them. But similarly to Courtney's, I guess, but don't be afraid to pray when the Lord puts those things in your heart or something. But it's okay to pray in for things that you feel like God is telling you you're supposed to have, or feeling like you're supposed to be in a certain place or move a certain place or go somewhere. Don't be afraid to pray into those and expect God to answer. I feel like this is also a season of answered prayers. Amen. For you.
What do you
Amen.
See? What'd you see?
I just saw you both like on your knees and crying out for things. I'm not sure what. Is that what you meant? Oh. No, I'm not sure what.
So the breakthrough, the key to your breakthrough is unity in your prayer life.
Yeah. You were together when I saw, like you were in the same spot.
That makes sense? It's unity in your prayer life. And God is not This sounds stupid. God is not drawing you two apart. That's obvious. You know that. The differences in you two are there for a reason. And it's not conflict, it's completion.
Amen.
So you need to pray together.
Amen.
Together, that's both of you. Not one prays and the other listens. That makes sense right there, huh? I hit something on that one, didn't I? Here's something. Come right here. Every now and then you stumble on one. You never know. Oh, I could run with that one. I'm not going to, though. Shoba katebe. I have no idea what I'm doing here. You people are. Jesus. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit. Luke 2:52 has been rocking my world. The Bible says that in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased. He kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Now, if Jesus had to increase, can you imagine how humble he had to be to say, I have to increase in stature with them? Let me say it this way. Most people, if they don't get the respect they feel they deserve right away, they'll cut people off. He's God. And he could have just said, to hell with them. But he kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. And his humility, his amazing humility, enabled him to win generation after generation, to win the world. And our pride makes us think that people need to recognize who we are. And pride, this is on your little sheet here, pride makes laziness look like confidence. Like, well, you know, I'm anointed, and when they recognize, then I'll be in that position that God told me. No, that's your pride thinking that you're great. But you do not have favor with people for a reason. And it's not because they're intimidated by your awesomeness. You know, you need to figure out how to increase in favor with people. And that only comes through humility. Yeah? I'm just trying to hurry up and finish here so we can pray for people. I'm going to be done in 10 minutes. You got something else here? Yeah, go ahead.
Kathy, can you stand up, please? I feel like in this season you need to really learn your Bible.
Yeah, yeah. What in the world have you been reading?
No. That's not what I mean.
I'm like the ghetto-style DJ that talks over the song. I'm sorry, go ahead. Some people know what that means, but go ahead.
I feel like there's going to be strategic things that you're going to read that day that someone is going to need to hear. So the way I see it is like you in the morning waking up and you read your Bible, but I feel like you need to ask God what specifically you're supposed to read, and he's going to use that in your conversation at some point in the day to just ignite something for someone that needed that. Amen.
I'm so disappointed I don't get to share this message. I thought it was so good. I'm just trying to figure out something I can share. Let's just fill out the form and then I'll just talk. God wants you to be a leader. He wants to prosper you and make you a shining example of his goodness. This is seen in 1 Timothy 3:1. It says, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine work he desires to do. You see, God wants to prosper you. He wants to make you a leader. He wants to show his greatness in you. He wants to use you to show the world that he prospers people. And he wants you to be an example of his prosperity. You know that? He wants you to be an example of his prosperity. We're going to move along here. The last thing. Some prophetic words are seed, and some are bread for times of testing. And I'll talk more about that another time. Let me get the band to come up. Actually, let me just get Lucas and the Davises. Lucas and the Davises. You know what the name of our first worship team was? It was Elijah and the She-Bears. We had one guy and three girls, so we just called them Elijah and the She-Bears. Might want to look up that story. It's pretty funny. Stand up, homegirl. We're just going to release the presence here again. Get to a place to receive. I get the lights. We're going to pray for everybody in the room who needs prayer, wants prayer.